Hi everyone, I'm Karen Webster and welcome to The Matchmaker Is In. Today I'm joined by David Evans, co-author of the book that launched this series, Matchmakers. David, thanks for joining us today.
Hey Karen, glad to be here.
And today, David and I are joined by Bobby Sain, the founder and CEO of Waitron. Hey Bobby, thanks for joining us today too.
Hey Karen, thank you.
Well, a brief high-level overview of Waitron, and then we'll get into the business. So it's a unique staffing marketplace platform that operates in the hospitality space. So I don't want to give away all the good stuff. I think I'd rather have you tell us what you do. But more importantly, what are the big frictions that Waitron is removing from the staffing model in hospitality?
Yeah. So the hospitality industry is unique in that it has a very high degree of churn. Something around 40 to 50% of workers leave in the first year, and it's difficult to find good workers. The only way typically to do that is to go through a staffing company, but of course staffing companies are expensive. They're, you know, around 20% more than the cost of the worker's salary for the year. So economically it doesn't make a lot of sense for the hospitality industry, which is a traditionally low-margin industry. And then you have job boards, which is the other solution. So you could use job boards and match to someone, but then you're left with the finding a needle in the haystack effect. So what Waitron wanted to do from the beginning, and something that I've always been fascinated with, is the quality and assurance of a staffing company at the cost and speed of something like a job board. So, you know, 40% of the U.S. workforce is contingent workers today, and that number is going to increase. And so as these contingent workers work, they're increasing churn as more firms continue to move to on-demand type businesses, and that churn's only going to go up even further. So with a rise in churn, the hospitality industry being a low-margin industry, and the need for accuracy, quality, and vetted capable staff, it just kind of builds to a big unsolved problem right now. So the hospitality industry employs around 11 million workers. 6 million of those are contingent or part-time. And, you know, one of the industries that need a solution like this the most currently doesn't really have one. So that is what we're looking to solve.
So hospitality is a pretty big field. Is there a particular aspect or segment of hospitality that you're focused on?
Yeah, so we started with, you know, it's really just a traditional staffing company. We were focused on catering and event planners. So we went out, we recruited a bunch of people, and then we partnered with a few catering companies and event planning companies and said, hey, whenever you need staff, just call us and we'll do it. And we did that so we could better figure out the nuances of staffing in this industry. And it's a bit more complex than other industries in that you don't typically just have one or two people that you need at a given time. It's dozens potentially. So matching dozens of people to one entity was a big problem in catering, and so that's where we started. Now we're expanding out to the brand ambassador world, which is an industry that's also in big need of this. So so these are people that go to grocery stores and liquor stores to demo product, and with that product being demoed, you have to have a person that's knowledgeable in the product that can be deployed at a given time somewhere that is hospitable. So right now, catering companies, some in restaurants for off-catered or off-premise catering, event planners, and then brands.
And these are very local markets, right, Bobby? So have you decided to start in a particular place, or are you doing this in multiple locations?
Yeah, so we just started in New York City, and we've now kind of expanded out to the tri-state area in general. But, you know, obviously the goal is to be everywhere, knock on wood, but just right now in the New York tri-state area.
How do you find people to opt into your marketplace? Is it hard to corral those people?
It is, yeah. It's hard to corral qualified people. So, you know, we go through a process with all of our workers where we vet them and, you know, background check them as many marketplaces tends to do. And finding quality amongst those people is a real challenge. But because there are so many sellers that want to be on our platform, workers, bartenders, waiters, that sort of thing. You have the fortunate stance of, rather the perspective of knowing that there's a big problem on the seller side, or else there wouldn't be so many people trying to get on the platform.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know whether a bartender is good or not good, or don't you vet for quality of service? You're just vetting for quality of person generally.
Yeah, so we're vetting for quality of person generally. I mean, obviously we look at their resume, and then with the background check we can tell if they've actually done the work that they said they've done. But we started out by screening the people in person, you know, not that different than a staffing company would. We bring them in, we look at the resume, we see if they're a gregarious and hospitable person by talking to them, learning more about them as a person. And then over time, we're starting to automate those facets of the onboarding. But really, it just comes down to, are you a likable person? Can you have a good conversation without spoiling the conversation, and can you do the things that you say you can do? So that, you know, skips a lot of the hard part of finding good workers, and that's a lot of the value add that we have.
And has that been your biggest challenge so far, recruiting a high quality workforce, or do you have the usual challenges that a matchmaker has of getting both the buy side and the sell side on board at more or less the same time?
Yeah, so more the latter. I mean, we've been fortunate that, you know, the worker side, the seller side for us has not been so difficult to recruit. But doing both the staffing up of the staff and then finding the buyers has been a bit difficult. Buyers are not comfortable using something like this when they traditionally only use staffing companies. So these are mom and pop type establishments that have been around for a really long time, and their vendors have been their vendors for 15, 20 years. So saying to them, hey, let our marketplace replace the need of a staffing company, we'll do it quicker, more efficiently, and more inexpensively than a staffing company could and can solve the problem for you. It's just a hard thing for a lot of our buyers to grasp, not that they can't grasp it, but just that they're not used to it.
So your buyer is the caterer, basically, or the brand that wants the brand ambassador to represent their product. Your buyer isn't the individual hosting the event.
Correct. So primarily, well, I say correct, but primarily it's going to be a B2B transaction. However, we do have customers inside of private homes that just want a vetted person to take care of them for an event, or to serve drinks to them and their friends, or to take care of them for a child's birthday party. We're finding that limiting our buyers limits the opportunities that we can get from private homes, which we didn't even see at the beginning.
So how are you convincing these hard to convince buyers, the moms and the pops and the guys who are used to serving the local community and are known probably to the event hosts themselves? How do you convince them that what you've got is better and more reliable?
Yeah, so that's the hard part. For us, what we do is sell it as a traditional staffing solution, and then over time they start to realize, oh, wait, this is more of a marketplace. And then getting them past the thinking of, this is the way I solved this problem traditionally, now this is the way I can solve this problem today, is a gap that we have to take some time bridging. So there's not exact. We haven't figured out the golden bullet yet, but we're getting closer and closer to it, I think.
When you bring on your sellers, your bartenders and your waiters and waitresses, because you're dealing in a local market where they may be known to the buyers, how do you convince them that this is something they should do versus just making sure that they're part of the Rolodex of the caterer that's serving the event or planning the event?
Yeah, so a lot of this has to do with the cacophony that's around the seller side. So if you're a worker in New York City on Waitron, for example. It's likely that you work for maybe a restaurant. You might be an actor, so you have acting jobs that you have every now and then. You might work for two or three different staffing companies in addition to being on Waitron. So there's all of this noise around the worker side of getting multiple jobs from multiple areas. So what we found is the big major problem is on the worker side. So when they start to realize that this is a single solution, one channel to get my work that lines up with my schedule to work when I want to, it's not a very hard sell for us. In fact, you know, they're the ones coming to us saying we would love to work for you. You know, hopefully we can continue to have that good fortune as we scale, but for the time being, we haven't seen a big problem with recruiting good, high-quality sellers.
Got it. Well, it also suggests that you've got to make sure that they have that reliable, steady stream by convincing the curmudgeon-y caterers to make sure that they know you're around and can provide reliable support for their events.
Right. Oh, right. Which
although
is,
am I right that from the standpoint of a worker, so long as your barrier to getting on board the platform isn't that high, I mean they can do all the stuff that they normally do, plus they can sign on to you guys, right? So they can multi-home across staffing agencies, job boards, and sign on with Waitron as well, right?
That is correct. Ideally, what we would like to do is see Waitron as a way to, I guess, funnel all of their additional work and give them really just one tool to solve their selling of their skills problem. And that's, you know, that's the bigger solution or the bigger problem to solve, I believe. So to Karen's point, getting the curmudgeon-y catering companies is a real challenge, but once they're on and once they're using it, they do realize, you know, this is a big, you know, this is a better solution to my problem of getting good quality temporary workers when I need them, as opposed to a staffing company as that solution. So it just takes some educating and some working. That's why we found a much lower barrier of entry to brands who know it's a pain, who need distributed workforces, and want a more up-to-date solution because they're not like a, you know, a traditional legacy business, which is all about person-to-person services.
As Karen warned you, one of the things I'm interested in at least is governance systems for these platforms, basically rules to stop bad behavior on both sides. So I'm curious how far along you are in your thinking and implementation of policies to make sure that the workers don't get stiffed by the event company on the one hand, and how the event company gets assured that once someone has found that a worker is a dud, they don't get exposed to that person in the future. How do you manage the kind of bad behavior by both sides of the market?
Right. So we're still a little early on as a company. So there's a lot of this that we haven't quite uncovered yet.
Sure.
But for the time being, that what we do experience that some. A lot of times the catering company will try to recruit the worker to work for them directly and obviously go around the platform. And how we incentivize that is that we try not to limit that behavior by the catering company. We just want to be a better solution for them than employing those people themselves. And for the worker, the way that it's best solved is creating relationships through the platform, of which it would be harder for them to keep outside of the platform. So if they're being favorited by a specific client and they leave the platform only to work for one other client, they're leaving out the opportunity cost that they're giving up by losing the other clientele that they build on the platform. So as we scale, we think it will be more difficult to control the problem, but we also think the network effect will hopefully help to curtail some of the platform leakage that some other companies have, or rather other firms have had.
Do you actually take responsibility for paying the workers? Do you have payment that runs through Waitron?
So our third-party payment provider is Braintree. So we use Braintree for all of our payment processing.
Got it. So you do payment is made via the platform for the matches that you're making.
Oh, I'm sorry. So as we start to transition more to a traditional marketplace platform, it will be. But for the time being, we're still operating a bit as a staffing company to better understand the problem. So we do payments ourselves, and then we will move over to Braintree automating that payment system. Braintree is our payments acceptor, but in terms of payouts, we're not using that functionality of it yet.
So just so I'm clear on this, if I'm an event company, do I pay you or do I pay the worker directly and then just pay you a commission?
No, you pay us and we pay the worker.
Got it.
And so it's the payout function that you're talking about is still not automated, but you're working on it.
Correct, yeah.
Got it. I wanted to get back to the business model as well. So we've talked about how you're paid and being paid. How do you make money?
So, you know, as a traditional marketplace, we're primarily making our money from the transaction fee. So we have a percentage above the cost of the worker. But as we scale, the way that it will be hard for staffing companies to compete with us is that we can charge exceptionally lower amounts for the same level of quality through our platform. And then as we build more tools into the platform for brands, catering companies, and other hospitality businesses to manage their workforces, we'll be able to add subscription fees into our platform. For the time being, we don't have that, so we're just charging a marketplace transaction fee.
You mentioned at the outset of our conversation that one of the things that's unique about catering is that it's often the case that multiple people are needed for a single event. And it's, you know, multiple bartenders, multiple waiters, waitresses, and probably other types of folks as well. That means you obviously have to make sure that you've got the right mix of people inside the platform, because you can't just take any old person and throw them behind a bar and expect them to make a good drink. So how do you,
right.
What are you doing to make sure that you've got that balance right on the supply side of your platform?
Right. So we try to keep up utilization of workers which are in the most demand. So if there's a big demand for bartenders, we will recruit up bartenders, and we try to keep a reserve of these workers so that utilization is never too high. So we screen them for these skill sets, and then they're tagged in the platform as somebody that can do A, B, or C. So there's not a really high degree of siloing in terms of their skills. It's not like we have, for the time being, we do not have mixologists specializes in, you know, Greek drinks or something like that. That doesn't exist on our platform. But what does exist is basic bartending, advanced bartending. So on our side internally, our system matches those which have been tagged with these types of skills to the demand from the other side. So our system would essentially do the same thing that a staffing agent would be doing in a traditional firm.
Mm-hmm. Do those on the platform get a notice when there's a job, or is it up to them to check in daily to see what's new?
No, so that is the one thing that we wanted to make sure we solved off the bat. So as I mentioned earlier, these workers are working for several different companies, and so they're having to check calendars for all of these different companies across multiple jobs, and it just didn't make sense to the seller, the worker, that they had to do this when there should be a push notification system that was much smarter. So we've built that stack on Twilio, so it's an SMS-based system. So once they get matched to a job, they get a text message that says, you know, hey, Karen, do you want to work this job at this time, or you've been matched for bartending, and you just text back yes, and if you text back yes, it matches you to that job. And then you get a more formal rundown of the job in another text message, and there's a link to a PDF and then you get it as an email. So they get all the information pushed to them as opposed to having to go check. And that allows them to accept jobs, not accept jobs based on their schedule.
Got it. You mentioned a couple of times that the profile of some of your sellers or suppliers are either actors and actresses, and I notice in your background that you have a history of producing movies and Broadway shows. Is that part of the inspiration for the idea?
Yeah, actually. My background has traditionally been in producing film and theater, and a lot of my friends were actors and writers, and there wasn't really a good solution for them to have part-time work that paid well, that worked with their schedule. You could take a job at a catering company, which isn't consistent demand, or a job at a restaurant, which isn't consistent schedule flexibility, but none of that really existed in a form that accompanied their skill sets, that allowed them to use the things that give them their you know, their side job in a way in which Uber did it. So we said, well, why can't this exist in the hospitality world? And then as I started to look, I realized that, you know, there was a huge need on the buyer side too, and a wide open market that's, in my opinion, highly overpriced. So if a market entrant came into that industry and said, well, there's a better way to do this using a marketplace mechanism to cut down the cost and speed up the transaction, then it would make a lot of sense. So, yeah, my background in producing, I guess, was the spark. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, you're around a lot of actors who need gigs between waiting for their big break.
Yes.
So it makes sense. A question on the buyer side. How often do I'm thinking about the profile of the curmudgeon versus the profile of, you know, a hip young catering cool company coming into the space that has the mindset that platforms like this are just the way things get done. Are you seeing a lot of growth on that side through those kinds of entrance into the industry?
Yeah. So where we're seeing our biggest use is by younger business owners that are looking for faster solutions,
mm-hmm.
And using those solutions in a way in which a traditional company would. So if, for example, I'm a catering company, I've been around for 30 years, I'm going to call, Joe. Joe has been staffing my events for the last 25 of those 30 years, and I will continue to give Joe my business. However, there's a new market entrant that's competing with me that doesn't really know Joe and is just looking for the easiest solution to solve the problem in the most cost-efficient way. And then they just go with us as a natural first step.
Got it. Did I read somewhere that you started as part of Waitron, that you had your own catering business as a part of that?
That is incorrect.
Is incorrect, okay. Because I was wondering whether that was a way to really learn the business and to have your own group of people, but that's a totally different business. Okay.
So David, I have one question, which is, if I think about your business, it would seem to me that one of your big challenges going forward in order to scale the business is scaling up the quality checking of the workers. So
yes.
Staffing agencies are small in part because they can't really operate on a large scale. You're trying to develop something that is national. So I'm curious, you know, how far your thinking is in terms of how you take the vetting process and scaling that up nationally in a way that allows you to compete with the smaller staffing agencies that have a kind of a close connection to the workers.
Of course, really good question. We have put quite a bit of thought into this problem. That was one of the first things that we wanted to think through. Like, okay, well, we know there's a big market opportunity here. We know it's a several billion-dollar industry. Well, how do we actually have the quality of an in-person checker, rather a recruiter, if you want to think of it that way, at the scale of an Uber, for example? And what we've come up with is, you know, we're pretty proud of it being somewhat unique, and we've been piloting it early on, which is essentially a tool for somebody to opt in to being a recruiter as long as they have the background to do so. So this is someone that could work as an independent contractor when they want to onboard workers in remote locations. So it would be an in-person recruitment process between them and the seller, where they would actually work with the seller, screen the seller in person, understand if that seller can do that job, and then use a series of tools that we give them to do that recruitment. So it would be a little different than traditional staffing recruitment, but not so far that it isn't something that somebody could do on a part-time basis. So if you're a general manager of a restaurant, you want to make extra money, you could go and recruit for Waitron for a week, something like that.
It sounds like you're basically creating a platform where one side of the platform consists of recruiters, people who, if they were scaled up, could actually be staffing agencies themselves. But you basically set it up so that the people can be specialized in the recruiting function on the platform. That's an interesting model.
Yeah, so it would.
How do they get paid, though? How does the recruiter get paid?
So they would take a percentage of the onboarding of the workers' payment. So they would essentially get a percentage as a normal recruiter would get. And that percentage would depend entirely on how much that person worked. So the idea is that they're incentivized to find somebody who wants to work often and work well and be favorited by several clientele so that they're making a higher percentage. And in terms of the amount and the percentage and the time in which they receive it, I don't think disclosing would be the best idea at this point.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. That is an interesting model. It does allow you to scale and also keep the quality high because you're developing a relationship that a person has probably with a network that they have in place, that because they're getting paid on how often that person works, they're going to make sure they produce great quality people for the platform. In the time that we have left, Bobby, just a couple of final questions, and it's a fascinating business, certainly a big opportunity to disrupt and provide great services to event planners. Where did you take your inspiration? You mentioned Uber, so we're not going to let you go to the Uber example again, but are there other platforms that, as you have observed, successful platforms operating, that you've borrowed techniques or inspiration from as you've been sketching out Waitron and thinking about how to scale it?
Absolutely. I love Airbnb. I think they did something that was beyond brilliant for something that was so simple, basically taking unoccupied space and turning it into value. You know, we're taking unoccupied time and turning it into value. So in a way that somebody has built up the value of their home, this person has built up the value of their skill set, and we're opening up the marketplace to connect directly to that skill set. So the idea of a staffing company is that they're the gatekeeper. And they're the gatekeeper because they know how to vet and screen these people better than something like a job board can. And having that human touch is really important to the client. But if you remove the gatekeeper and connect the client directly to the buyer, then if a system is built in such a way that screens for skill, then you know what you want ahead of time, and you just connect that need to that supply. And I think Airbnb did that beautifully. You know, the person brokering real estate in a really big way, I think, is deserving of a $20 billion valuation. A lot of people would probably disagree with me, but I think that they're a brilliant company. I think OpenTable is a great one. David, I know you used that example pretty heavily in your book, and I think that it's a great one. They seem to have a big problem of scaling the supply and demand side in tandem, and I can understand why. It would be difficult to get people from the world that is as legacy thinking as restaurants into a world in which reservations happen through, you know, the ether. So I think that working through some of OpenTable's problems makes a lot of sense for us, because we're dealing a lot with the same buyers, you know, people that use legacy systems that yep. want to work in the hospitality industry, that do work in the hospitality industry, excuse me, and looking at some of those comparables and saying, well, how can we mimic or at least stand on the shoulder of that giant to learn a little bit more about what we could do ourselves.
Are there other players, Bobby, that are doing this? Are you guys blazing the trail?
The closest company would probably be ShiftGig. ShiftGig has been around for a few years. They're not doing exactly what we're doing, but they're like on-demand shift swapping. So you can open up shifts in your restaurant and somebody can come in and work that hasn't worked at your restaurant before. There is another on-demand staff company called JitJatJoe. We do not feel that we compete with them directly because you know, we're focused more in the events industry, and we don't think that on-demand is really what this this industry needs. On-demand doesn't really solve the problem. We started out as on-demand, and we realized that, well, no, the buyers do not necessarily need on-demand. They just need higher quality more consistently, and to get to that quality in the easiest, most cost-efficient way. So in terms of a direct competitor doing what we're doing, no, we haven't found one.
David, we're running a little over on time. Any final thoughts?
I was only going to say, and I'm sure you want to keep it that way.
that would be great. Yeah. I mean, ideally, you know, this industry is not unlike many industries. This is a problem that's apparent in a lot of industries outside of hospitality. So if we can make a system work inside of the industry that we're in today, hopefully we can find that same value need in other industries as well.
That sounds great.
Sounds like a big market to tackle, though, all in and of itself. Well, listen, Bobby, thank you so much for your time today. It was a fascinating look at your business with some really interesting ways to attract both sides to the platform, and particularly get at the vetting problem, which is at the crux of what buyers really want to know you've done for them. So thanks again for your time.
You're very welcome, and thank you both for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone who listens. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. Have a good day.